Okay, so once again, returning to the Word of God. Today, the sermon is encompassed in one single verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he says, "We know that all things work together for good." All things, he says, work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This particular passage in the book of Romans, I think, is one of the great, great verses in God's book. This 28th verse in chapter 8 of Romans, it is, I think, a foundation. It is a stratum. It is a rock upon which the Christian can build his life, can face any future, can stare down any destiny, no matter how easy it is, and particularly no matter how hard it is. Paul again says, we know that all things work together for good for those who are called according to God's purpose. He writes that, you'll notice, with such assurance, doesn't he? I mean, today it's quite common to hear, particularly among the young people, "I'm so confused." I think I hear that word more than any other word in our academy sometimes. "Oh, I was so confused." It's sort of a funny joke that's often told amongst our young people. They thought something else was happening, and it was kind of humorous, and so they begin to recount that humorous anecdote with, "I was so confused." Well, my parents didn't take kindly to that word when I was a kid. They would say, "You ought not to be confused. You need to figure it out. You need to get it straight." And Paul does that here. In the first Christian century, the whole civilized world was afflicted by scholars, philosophers, known as sophists. They were the so-called learned philosophers who had been initiated into the mysteries of knowledge. And sometimes in Greek literature, you'll find them referred to on occasion as the Gnostics, the knowing ones, the ones who had it figured out. The Gnostics, according to them, they knew everything. And of course, you had the opposite of the Gnostics as well in the first century of the church. You had the agnostics, the ones who were confused. Okay, but Paul would never categorize himself as a Gnostic because that tended to carry all kinds of pagan religious overtones. But you'd say, okay, if he's not going to call himself a Gnostic, then perhaps Paul would call himself agnostic. No, that's not the case either. Paul would never categorize himself as agnostic. He speaks here of Christian certainties. It's become quite trendy, quite fashionable within society as a whole to say, you know what, I'm just not sure, and to present yourself as an individual who has doubts. But what we see when we look at the world around us through Scripture is that individuals who portray themselves as having doubts or having questions and doubts are fine, but as they continue to persist, especially in the face of the bedrock of God's Word, these are no longer doubts. These are doubts really masquerading for what it really is, which is unbelief. A rejection of what God says. Paul doesn't speak here as one who has doubts. He speaks here as one who has heard directly from the Lord. And he makes this statement. He says, "We know. We know." What a great statement to hear the Word of God making to us out of the deep and never to be forgotten experiences of his life. Paul writes with tremendous and everlasting assurance. He says, "I know, we know." For example, in 2 Timothy, he writes, "I am not ashamed," writing as an individual who's experienced jail time. He says, "I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." Or 2 Corinthians, he says in 2 Corinthians, "We know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." This same kind of knowledge reaches back into the Old Testament, for Job writes something very similar. Job, writing hundreds, thousands of years before Christ ever came, makes this incredibly powerful statement. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last day, he will stand on this earth. Paul writes again, typically, in the church, in the letter to the church at Philippi, and he writes, I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this, and he's referring to his imprisonment, he says, I know that through your prayers and the help of the Holy Spirit, this will turn out for my deliverance. Paul knew, we know, so let us not say, I'm so confused. Let us know. And one of the things that we need to know today, and this is, again, the bedrock on which any Christian can build his life, no matter what you're going through and no matter what you're facing, we know that all things work together for good for those who love Jesus Christ. Well, I think that if Paul had written something like, we know that most things, or maybe some of the things that we go through, work out together for good, I'm pretty sure I could get on board with that statement. But that isn't what he says. This passage, church, calls for faith. This passage calls for a certain response. Not in most of our day-to-day situations, not in many of our difficulties. This passage is calling for a response of faith in every situation, in all situations. Paul doesn't write, oh, well, we know that most things work out for good, or we know that quite a number of the things, God somehow is going to pull it all together at the end. He says all things, every last thing that we go through, God is working it together for good. So mystery surrounds us. Enemies may assail us. Dear friends may desert, abandon, or even go so far as to betray us. Satan may always be hounding us. Sorrows may overwhelm us. Poverty may threaten us. Sickness may weaken us. Despair may overtake us. Depression could swallow us up. And yet, in the midst of every single situation, dear church, the Apostle Paul says, know that all of this is being used by God for your good. All of it. So let's look a little bit more closely at our text. Ooh, look at that. I got 5 minutes left. Well, that was my introduction. We know that all things work together for good. The time just goes, you know. The time, the Lord is in charge of the time. And the preacher loses track of the time. But thank God that the preacher's not in charge of the time. Some of you are like, yeah, I wish you thought that way more often. Well, I think really what I just want to impress upon you this morning, dear church, and we heard this testimony from our brother Trevor a little while ago. All things work together for good. And he shared an incredible testimony about losing his father as a 4-year-old. And again, some of the abuse that he suffered later on in life. God used even those things for good and for blessing. Now, it's not to say that everything that happens to us is good. It isn't. It is evil what happens many of the times. But it is to say that even in the midst of that evil and even in the midst of that tragedy, God is sovereign. And nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing takes place which he did not already know about. And all things, paradoxically, supernaturally, miraculously, all things, and this requires heart of faith, all things work together for good. So believe it and hope in it. And we'll return to this text again next week. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Now, Father in heaven, Lord, we pray that your word will take root deep in us. We pray, Lord, that we will respond in faith, that you are in charge of all circumstances. And rather than despairing or being depressed or feeling overwhelmed in the midst of the rising flood, God, our prayer is that you would remind us with this passage to always look to you and to ask, what great, wonderful, tremendous joy are you bringing into my life through this season of heartache and sorrow? God, help us to look in faith, not to what is immediately in front of us, but to what your good hand has purposed for us for all of eternity. And help us to walk with you in joy. God, bless your people, we pray this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Well, as we bring our worship service to a conclusion, I'd like to ask Reuben to come on up here and grab your acoustic guitar. And would you just lead us in the doxology? And I wonder if Trevor here? No? Okay. Well, he's probably out in the foyer at the Flying Bow Ministries table. Can you lead us in the doxology? We'll do it together. Oh, here's our crew. Are you familiar with the tune from the doxology? We're going to just sing the doxology together. And since we have so many talented musicians up here, you can use this microphone. I'm going to